to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Time for our regular visit with Kevin Freeman, who takes us inside the economic war room, the title of his forthcoming television program. He is, of course, the best-selling author of Secret Weapon and Game Plan. He is, among other things, a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy, specializing in his prime portfolio of economic warfare for us. He is also, very pleased to say, a fabulous online resource at globaleconomicwarfare.com. Kevin Freeman, good to have you back. Welcome.
Thank you, Frank. Good to be here.
Let's talk about some writing that you have been doing, I think, since we last talked. I know it's a subject we've touched on repeatedly, and I'd like to get you back on for a full hour to do a proper drill down on this, Kevin, because the stakes are incalculably high. And you point out in a post on the 26th, I think, of last month, that the vast majority of us are unaware that the dollar has been losing value. And you suggest that there are a lot of reasons for that, but there is also what you say can only be termed as an active conspiracy to displace the dollar that may be contributing to that weakness and more as well. Tell us a little bit about what the symptoms of that conspiracy are.
Well, there's no doubt that there is a conspiracy to displace the dollar. Whether it'll be effective or not is a completely different question. But Russia, elements in China, Venezuela, Iran, North Korea, and others, and in the Middle East even, that are supposed allies, oil-producing nations, they've all decided that the dollar cannot continue forever in its reign as the global reserve currency. And so what we've seen, a active liquidation, for example, of dollars being held by Saudi Arabia and others. Now, granted, there's a very benign explanation. Oil prices are down. They're hurting for cash. They have to liquidate their treasuries. But it's symptomatic of a larger issue. The Chinese have also been known to go through serious bouts of dollar liquidation and selling of treasuries. So we see a number of effects happening around the world, and we just assume that everything's perfectly normal, but it's not. Things are changing.
And you make a pretty compelling case that the steps that these countries are taking to try to put into place what I kind of think of as the economic infrastructure that's required to support an alternative to the dollar of one kind or another are now far advanced. One that you say is tricky, but that is also coming into place, is sort of an alternative credible debt market that would attract foreign capital is coming into place. So, Kevin, how quickly could people in China, Saudi Arabia, Russia, elsewhere, the BRIC countries as they're called, pull this off, do you think? Is this imminent?
Well, one of the things that you have to be a reserve currency is you have to have the ability to take on large amounts of reserves. We have a $20 trillion federal debt, and that's a very deep and liquid debt market. And the argument's been made that no one could ever rival it. But that's simply not the case. The Chinese debt markets, they're actually rapidly building up their debt, which looks like a serious problem for their economy and probably is. But if they can transition to the where the world sees them as the economic leader and not the United States, they'll have foreign funding of that debt. They'll go from a basically strong creditor nation to a debtor nation, and they'll have essentially displaced our position. So it can happen. It's happening now. Maybe in the next 5 years, they may have a debt market as deep as ours.
With very profound implications for our debt, our budget, our economy, our security as well. Kevin, you've also called to my attention something else that's going on that has implications both for all of that and for North Korea. Talk a little bit about what the North Koreans are seemingly up to with respect to Bitcoin. Some people think it may be an alternative currency for the dollar, too. Where are we on that story?
Well, North Korea has a long history of counterfeiting U.S. dollars. as a means of obtaining hard currency. They've been the world's most prolific counterfeiter of $100 bills.
Apparently very high quality at that.
Oh, yes, extraordinary quality and almost impossible to distinguish. And that's why we changed our $100 bill multiple times in the past couple of decades. But they're now in the business of stealing Bitcoin, hacking into Bitcoin repositories, and mining Bitcoin, which is a legitimate legal means of obtaining Bitcoin. What they're saying is this is possibly a way to get around global monetary sanctions. It's a possibly a way for them to get the ability to buy and sell goods and services. Now, some people like Jamie Dimon will look at Bitcoin and say it's a big Ponzi scheme, but we always must remember that money is only money because we say it is. And if the world agreed that seashells were money, they would be money. If the world agrees Bitcoin is money, and Christine Lagarde recently from the IMF has suggested that every problem of Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies in general, not just specifically the one Bitcoin, but every problem can be solved, and at some point that may be the world's currency. North Korea is getting ahead of this. At the same time, South Korea is banning the use of Bitcoin. The Japanese are licensing the use of Bitcoin, and the Chinese, I think, are very confused as to exactly how they want to handle it. But this is a very leading edge technological means of possibly displacing the dollar at some point in the future, and North Korea is jumping on that bandwagon.
And you'd think, Kevin Freeman, you're a student of finance as well as economic warfare, that it would kind of be a showstopper for Bitcoin if people can hack into it, isn't it? I mean, doesn't that fundamentally mean that you've got the ability to counterfeit there too, which corrupts the whole system, I would think?
Well, but those technological problems can be addressed and they can be fixed. You can hack into the Federal Reserve. It's been done. You can hack into the SWIFT transaction system. So those who dismiss Bitcoin entirely do so at their own peril. I don't know where it will land, but ultimately the technology, the blockchain technology that's behind Bitcoin, will have something to do with the global monetary system. And a mutual friend of ours, Patrick Byrne, firmly believes this, and he's actually put his company Overstock.com in the position to not only accept Bitcoin, but to issue security in the form of Bitcoin security so that you could buy stock in Overstock and it would be kept in the blockchain as opposed to in the normal stock transaction system.
Fascinating. Kevin Freeman, very quickly, one of the things we've been talking about earlier in the program with Bruce Klingner is the pressure by the Trump administration on North Korea, specifically using financial sanctions on Chinese banks that do business with it. Are we seeing signs that that is having an effect on the North Koreans, do you think? And what effect is it having on the Chinese?
Well, there's no doubt it's having an effect. North Korea's economy does not exist without China. But the North Koreans are very resourceful, and they're moving around this, Bitcoin being one form of it. They're actually moving to create alternative internet service provision with Russia as an alternative to the Chinese internet service provision that they've been using. So they're showing a willingness to adapt around it. But yes, pressuring China and the Chinese banks will have an enormous impact on North Korea, and the Chinese will have to decide what side they want to be on. If they have been playing both sides, and so far effectively, hopefully we can shut that down.
Indeed. A lot's riding on it, needless to say. Kevin Freeman, a lot is riding on your insights into economic warfare, both that's being waged against us and instruments we could use to advance our security interests in this domain. I know it will be a feature of your new program, Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman. We can't wait for its debut. Thank you for joining us. We'll look forward to talking with you again next week. We'll look forward to talking with the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.